The following is a message from Heritage Foods USA. In the next few weeks, Heritage Foods USA will be offering an interesting variety of amazing products, ranging from top quality seafood to their famous pork cuts. At the end of May, the Heritage team will go up to Maine to harvest fresh lobster with sustainable lobstermen. These delicious lobster are a perfect way to kick off the summer season. In the pork department, Heritage Foods USA will offer the maple-cured smoked boneless Heritage ham at an unbeatable price. This offer won't last long, so get them while you can. Place your order today at heritagefoodsusa.com or call 718-389-0985. That's 718-389-0985 to place your order with Andrea or Ashley. And don't forget to sign up for the email list and to check them on Facebook and Twitter to get in on their new products, deals, and offers from Heritage Foods USA.
You tuned into the Heritage Radio Network. The show is Flash Talks Cash. We're about money, making it, spending it, saving it, what to do with it when you get it. I'm your host, Joanne Flash Fleming, and I'm with my co-host, Andrew, by the skin of my teeth, Newman.
I don't know why you have to be here any earlier than I get here.
Yeah, 4:29.5.
Whatever. And we didn't start till 4:31. I had a minute and a half.
Jack Inslee, my producer, my engineer, and my support system.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Jack.
Jack, was I late?
Yes.
Right on time.
You're supposed to be here a few minutes before you start the show.
Oh, by the way, one of my clients started using Heritage Foods in his restaurant.
Well, nice. Talk about Heritage Foods. You know, we sit here and we listen to these delicious commercials.
Really? The commercials are delicious?
The delicious commercials. I'm ready to go to Maine and go get some food, man. Can I get on that trip, Jack?
Just go. We don't need you here.
Get a bus.
Sign on and go on that trip.
I think Jack and I can handle the show by ourselves.
Oh, I bet.
I think it'll be great.
It'll be great. All right, I'm going to do that. This summer, I'm going to let Jack and Andrew do the Flash Talks Cast show. All right, well, we're going to set that up. Okay. Today's show is...
You want to give us a call? Give us a call.
Wait, I name the show and then I go into the other details.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I always do that.
Really?
Yeah. All right, we'll change the routine. Every Thursday we're on from 4:35. We stream live, listen live. You know you're listening live if you're listening now.
But wow. Wow. And you don't think we could pull off the show without you?
And then we'd love to hear from you during the show. All our phone lines are open, and the phone number is...
718-497-2128. Is that right, Jack?
And yes, it's 497-2128.
Yes!
And you can email Jack and he'll read your questions or comments while we're on the show. The info at heritageradionetwork.com. If you can't listen live, then you can always go to the webpage and listen to the archives or download a free podcast.
Another funny story. My client, Jack Mazzola, was on Jeopardy on Tuesday. He was like a clue.
He was a clue?
Yeah, he was like one of the questions.
Oh, so he wasn't physically on the
show.
No.
Like, they used him as, like, a question.
I don't understand that.
Like, you know how there's a question.
It's
like,
was he a contestant?
No.
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
Like, they spoke about his business on the show.
What business is that? Mazzola Oil?
No, coffee.
Oh.
Jack's Coffee?
Oh, Jack's Coffee. And he was a question.
He was a $1,000 question under the Jacks. I thought that was pretty cool.
Did he get any money out of that deal?
No, why?
Wow, that's pretty...
Do you get money for your name being mentioned on TV?
Well, you could. Cold product placement and things like that. Yeah, you could.
It was like, they were like, what, this West Village guy does natural and shade grown.
Really? So yeah. He was on national or international Jeopardy.
Oh, he's all over the place.
Good for him.
Blowing up.
Very good. Well, he probably needs some really good financial advice because he's on the verge of making millions. He should call me again. Okay, so
what?
So can we go to the show now? This is about money.
We're talking about money right now. You're trying to like scrounge up business right now. It's kind of desperate. You're sounding desperate.
I'm not desperate at all. I'm just giving advice.
Apparently you are. Want to give advice to people.
People who are suddenly...
Are you going to give it for free?
I could give it for free. That's part of the end of the show. I'll start off the show. I'm going to start an entrepreneur series. Starting next week, every week, we're going to bring an entrepreneur, any industry, any kind of business they have, whether they're a new startup, they're well-established, they're mature, they're on their way out, whatever it is, and they're going to come in and they can come in and talk to us, ask us questions.
It's going to be a lot of people.
Well, one person a week.
A week, that's still going to take up most of the show.
Yeah, so that's the whole point.
Should we go for an hour now?
Well, So
I have a lot more to say.
Well, maybe you should come 5 minutes early and come up with these.
But we're not on the air 5 minutes early.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about this on the air. So I just want to talk about my entrepreneur series.
Go ahead.
Okay, so next week we're going to have Michael Golden in. He is a, by trade, he's a tile designer. He's a creative force, and he's doing some very interesting work, and he has lots of questions, and he's going to pick our brains. He's going to talk to us about his financial and business questions, because he's a creative guy and doesn't have the expertise and the knowledge that business people have. So anybody who's interested in being a guest during the Entrepreneur Series, they can contact me or the radio station, and we would set it up and bring you in. Well, we could do it by telephone if you can't make it in. So there's lots of options. So we look forward to that. We'll see where that goes. Hopefully we'll get some interesting stuff out of that. Today's show is Who's Who in Investing. So what the theme of this show is, all of those titles out there, who do I call when I want to invest my money? It's very confusing. I'll give you a handful of titles. They, of course, attorneys, but they don't really do a lot of investing, but they can do investing. Or CPAs, they do investings. I call that a conflict of interest, but that's another story. There are stock brokers. There are stock traders. There are registered representatives. There are financial advisors. There are financial analysts. There are registered investment advisors. There are brokers. There are insurance people. There are bankers. There are financial planners, certified financial planners. There are discount brokers. There are full service brokers. There's all kinds of people out there. And most people have no idea the difference between one and the other. Andrew, you have any idea between some of them?
No.
You forgot about Jim Cramer.
Jim Cramer.
What about those people who do it themselves? The E-Trade things where they're like, oh.
Well, that's a discount broker.
Oh, is that what that is?
That would be you'd have an account with a discount broker. So we're going to talk about the differences. The most important thing to begin with is the term fiduciary responsibility. Let me just be real basic here. A fiduciary is somebody who has your best interests and at heart.
Only financially, or is this anywhere?
A fiduciary is somebody who acts on your behalf for your best interests.
Financially or anywhere?
Well, in the word fiduciary.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Fiduciary.
Can you define fiduciary?
I'm telling you, it's a person who has your best interests.
Jack, can we get a real definition? I think she's making this up.
Okay.
It seems to relate mostly to money.
Thank you.
But the Latin definition does relate to trust.
Okay. Thank you.
It's the same thing.
I like having Jack here.
Okay, so the point is, you have to have somebody who's out there for your best interest. And in the money world, there are only a few titles that are considered fiduciary. And this is a pretty surprising situation. Most people don't have any idea about this. So when it comes to money, somebody who's committed to putting your financial interests ahead of his or hers, okay, that's where the problem lies. It's important because it's very hard to find a fiduciary advisor, financial advisor. There are not that many out there, so you really have to seek them out. The lower levels below fiduciary is held to a suitable standard. So if the advisor
what are the different levels? Who's on the fiduciary level?
I'm going to go through that now.
Oh.
There's only three people on the fiduciary level.
You're confusing me.
Okay, the fiduciaries are lawyers, CPAs, and registered investment advisors.
Okay. Where do they get registered?
They're all licensed. Okay. They're all licensed. And their license requires that they act on behalf of the client ahead of their own interests.
Gotcha.
Okay. The rest of them, if they get into trouble, the level that they have to provide service is, what did I say? Responsible? What did I say?
I stopped listening to you half the time.
Oh, boy. Suitably responsible. A suitable standard.
Okay.
That's pretty.
So who are those people?
Well, those are these people. These people are all those other terms I call.
You called out a lot of terms. Doesn't everyone have to be licensed in some way or another?
No. Okay.
Who are the people? Give me the list. See how Jack responds so quickly. Why can't you be that quick?
A certified financial planner could be or couldn't be, depending on the level that they have. A financial planner, again, maybe. An insurance agent? No. A banker? No. A stockbroker? No. A registered representative? No. A stock trader? No. Okay? These people are generally, most of them are salespeople masquerading as professionals.
Okay.
They exploit a lot of people. They work for a lot of brokerage and insurance companies. And they these companies have figured out what their customers want, and their companies are will provide them with the with oftentimes the highest commission sales products out there. And 2/3 of the people who invest money don't even know that they're out there lining their pockets with high commission products and not looking out for their best interests. So it's you gotta ask a lot of questions. You gotta push and make sure that you have the right advisor. Now, not all advisors are bad boys, but let me give you a little example here of somebody who is too trusting. You got $10,000 a year to save for retirement, and your financial advisor recommends that you invest your money in a fund that you return your net return maybe 8% a year. After 30 years, you'd have over $1.1 million. That's a pretty standard, nice relationship for 30 years, 8%. That's pretty good. That's what you would expect at the minimum. Now, let's say you can earn a fat commission on recommending a higher cost investment and being promoted by a financial firm. So instead of netting 8% a year, you might get 6% a year. And after 30 years, your nest egg would grow to just under $800,000, a difference of more than $300,000. You know that most investors don't have a clue. And that's your responsibility to try to find somebody who's going to do the best job for you. It's not one size fits all. There are lots of different products out there, and the guy who is selling XYZ stocks because he's getting a big commission should not be selling XYZ stocks to every one of his customers. There are different products for different people. 8% return may not be enough for a person who's 20 and needs to come up with a lot of money in the next 10 years. They might want to go for a return of maybe 12%. So there you go. One size does not fit all. It's important for you to ask questions. You have to ask, dig deep, find out if they're actually making a great commission on the product, or is that person actually looking out for your best interest.
What? I'm checking my stock portfolio right now.
Shut up, Drew.
That was my plan.
Just I'll ask you what my return up. Is. Just shut up. All right? Now, let me tell you something. There's a lot of breaches of fiduciary responsibility. A lot of breaches. And so then you have to sue the guy and go to court. And the most common problems are, of course, breach of fiduciary responsibility, negligence, breach of contract, unsuitability, failure to supervise, misrepresentation. There's a lot of cases out there for people because they lost their money and they didn't have them invested with the right kind of guy or the right kind of advisor. Let me tell you a little bit about what some of these people do, what they have to do to become these titles. Well, we know what a lawyer has to do, and we know that a CPA has what they have to do. They have to pass a rigorous exam.
They both have to take exams.
And the CPA also has to work for a few years before they can get their license, and they have to do, both lawyers and accountants have to go every year and do a minimum amount of annual education to keep abreast of what's going on. Stockbroker has to take a test, a Series 7 test, and he has to register with the NASD. They're not fiduciaries. They're not legally obligated to act in your best interest. They make money on commissions or fees for what they sell. They sell products that may or may not meet your needs. This is legal, and that's what they do. There are things called, there's two kinds of accounts you can generally set up. It's a commission-based account and a transaction-based account. And a commission-based account is based upon the value of your account. If you give the guy $10,000 and
so that's what you want, rather than transactions, because you can
that's the trend now. I mean, most people don't have transaction-based accounts. So if you give a guy $10,000, he gets, say, 1%.
It's in his best interest to grow your account.
He gets $100 a year for your account. If it grows by doing nothing, it just grows. His commission annually increases. If it grows by him buying and selling different stocks, if you don't pay per transaction, you pay just based upon the value at the end of the next year. If you add to it because you like what the guy is doing, then your account grows and the guy makes more money. So he's got an interest in growing your account. Now, a transaction-based account, which used to be the standard, but it's kind of turned all the way around, is when the stockbroker or the investor, the advisor, only makes money when you buy and sell stock. Well, guess what? Their interest was churning your account. Mm-hmm. Churning means just buying and selling and buying and selling to make their commissions, regardless of whether you were making money or not. And there were many, 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 many sad stories where people's values diminished to almost zero because the broker had only his interest at heart.
So who's the other person who is fiduciary responsible?
The registered investment advisor.
Well, how do you get
They're licensed. Again, they take a rigorous exam. They're licensed and they have to continue education. And it's lots of CFPs, certified financial planners, are also RIAs, registered investment advisors. Those people are the ones you should stick with. There are certified financial planners that are held out to fiduciary. They're fee-based. They don't do the investment. They give you a plan, and they may invest your account, or they may send you to somebody to do your investing. That's the best kind of person. The person doesn't have any interest in where you take your money. They'll suggest you put 5% in this kind of a stock and 10% in bonds and 20% in commodities, et cetera, et cetera. So that's a financial planner, and they get a fee based upon what the plan they come up with. So there's all kinds of things out there. I'm telling you, the most important thing is to ask questions. And here's the number one biggest problem that I see today. Is there's a person who will call me and say, Joanne, I have to open up an IRA, or I have a little bit of money. I inherited some money from my parents and I don't know what to do with it. And I say, you got to invest it in the market. Don't put it in the bank. You only make, you know, less than 1%. So they can't find an investment advisor, a good investment advisor, who will take a small amount to open up their account. Most of the seasoned or successful financial advisors have outrageous minimums to open up their account. Some of them are $50,000 or $100,000. Some of them are $5 million. Some of them are $500,000. So it's not uncommon for the little guy to be sitting there with a few thousand dollars and not find anybody to help them invest. And that's when they get into trouble. They go to the bank and the banker starts to put them into annuities. Stay away from them. The insurance agents try to sell them all sorts of products. Stay away from them. Or they wind up going to a discount broker and trying to invest themselves. They don't know what they're doing. You really got to really find out a good person who's willing to start with you and grow with you and build a relationship over a lifetime. Okay, so let's take a minute here and then we'll come back with the rest of the show.
Okay, it's your boy EK and I got another one. This drop goes out to all your haters out there. I got my money stack high, 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 I got my money stack high. I be like goodbye haters, I be like goodbye haters, I be like goodbye haters. I got my money stack high, I got my money stack high, I got my money stack high. I be like goodbye haters, I be like goodbye haters. While I'm catching these papers, while I'm catching these papers. Everybody know me, I keep it G, letting the lovers love and the haters hate. Gotta have some respect, disrespecting me, I blast you in your face. Nigga, you a disgrace, fuck the haters, fuck the bullshit, forget about you. Y'all can't hang, cause y'all can't stay true. The
following is a public service announcement from Heritage Radio Network. Join Linda Palacio for A Taste of the Past every Thursday at 12 p.m. as she indulges her curiosities about food, cooking, drinking, and dining of the past by taking a journey through culinary history. Linda interviews authors, scholars, friends, and chroniclers to learn about what was eaten, where, and how, from as long ago as ancient Mesopotamia and Rome, right up to the grazing tables and deli counters of today. The show underscores food as a lively link between present and past cultures. Again, that's Thursday at 12 p.m. on the Heritage Radio Network. You know, Joanne, I gotta say, you went from hip-hop songs to seemingly hip-hop songs made by 15-year-olds.
Okay, well, you know, I'm all over the place. I just...
Who the hell was that?
I have no idea.
That was... I'll tell you who it was. It was EK619.
This might be the first time his song has ever been played in public.
Yes.
Has 150 views on YouTube.
Listen, he got his money stack high, and that's what I was looking for. What are you going to do with that money stack?
I'm trying to invest it, but my broker is just really not doing much for me. I swear to God, he's losing me money.
He's losing me money? That's some terminology. He's losing me money? Listen.
He's losing my money?
Okay, well, he's losing my money.
Losing money for me.
Well, then, you know what? To be proactive and find another one or ask questions. And
you recommended him.
Well, I didn't.
Bad advice.
Okay, well. Okay.
This guy Bernie keeps telling me he's fiduciary, but.
Oh, yeah, I don't believe him anymore.
I don't know who Bernie is.
Madoff, dude. Seriously? Oh. Wow.
I didn't know that Bernie was telling anybody anything these days.
He's trying to reach out.
Listen,
he's trying to build his stacks.
I don't have an email question today. I have a question for my listeners and my staff. Ready?
Oh, staff now. That's nice. Yeah,
but apparently we're on salary or something, yeah. Jack.
No, I didn't say salaried staff, but you're still staff.
We're your staff. We work for you?
Yeah.
How about you pay us then?
How about for 30 minutes a week? Yes.
No, it's not worth my time.
Oh,
what's the question?
We need a raise. Okay. Jack, I'm trying to get us a raise here, man.
Right, watch this. Flash got a ticket this week, a cell phone ticket.
Wow. Yeah, you did.
I did.
What was wrong with you?
I got one on Sunday night.
Why are you talking on your phone in the car? It's dangerous.
Well, I know, but I was on the phone for a nanosecond.
Was this when you were calling me?
No, I wasn't calling you. I wouldn't call you when I'm on the car in the car. So I want to know. This is my question. So I got a $130 ticket. I don't want to do that again.
Okay.
I have a speaker on my phone, and my question is, if I put the phone when I'm in the car on speaker, and then I put it down on my lap, is that still considered cell phone?
No.
I wouldn't get a ticket?
No.
Hands free.
Yeah.
So the rule is,
People have like holsters for the phone, so you can
hit, and you can chat.
Two hands on the wheel.
Yeah, as long as your hands are on the wheel.
Ah. Well, there I go. So I'm going to save myself $130.
Was that really the whole question?
That was my question. It was a money question. So now I'm, a lobster. We got a lobster out there. You want to talk about lobsters next? Well, they're expensive.
Now you're hungry, huh? Yeah, lobster went up in price.
They went up in price? Everything's going up in price.
It went up a lot.
Why is that?
I have no idea.
Cost a lot of oil to get a lobster out of the ocean?
I don't know anything about food pricing.
All right. Well, these boys are being very disruptive right now. We have got a little, we have a number nuts thing going on here. Is Jack going to tell us?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Well, maybe Jack can ask some of the people in the studio to help him. These questions are so simple that if you're above the third grade, you should get 100 on these tests. On this test.
I'm not ruling out my chances.
Okay, so here's the first question. What are the three early forms of money? So before money and coins came in, what are the things that people used for money?
I have no... What does that even mean?
What are the three? Okay, I'll give you.
I don't understand
gold?
The question.
Are you talking about gold? Like
what kind of barter. Salt? The guy said salt. The answer was no. That's not correct.
Gold.
Gold is not the answer. Before gold, before the concept of money, what did people use?
Bartering? Yeah.
But what did they use? What form of
commodities.
Currency?
Commodities. I don't know.
Commodities. Yes, you're right. What kind of commodities?
Sex.
Food.
Sex. Well, no.
Seriously?
Fur is one of them.
Okay.
Beads. We've all seen these do beads.
What are you buying in Manhattan here? What is this
shells,
crap?
Shells.
Okay. What does that matter?
These are the third grade questions.
I got the first one wrong. I think we're all screwed here. What's the next question?
All right. Who was the first group to use coins? I'll give you a multiple choice.
The Sumerians.
The Greeks, the Romans, or the Lydians?
The Lydians.
Lydians.
The Jews.
You are so racist. It's all about sex and demeaning people.
He always says that.
I don't know who he is. Who is that guy?
Lydians, Romans, or Greeks?
I'm going with Lydians.
Yeah, we went Lydians.
Lydians. Well, you're right. Never heard of Lydians.
I think it was Sumerians.
What three countries' money was used in the U.S. before the Revolutionary
Babylonian.
War? Babylonian. What three countries' money was used in the U.S.
England,
before...
England, France, and Spain.
That's what I was going to say.
England, France, and Spain. Wow, that was pretty good, Andrew. You answered that so quickly. He's right.
Well, those are the three countries who were like...
All right, here's a multiple choice, because I don't know if you're going to get this one. Who made the first plates for the continental currency? George Washington, Paul Revere, or Betsy Ross?
Paul Revere.
Come on, Jack.
Betsy Ross.
Paul Revere. He was right.
I just wanted to guess something
He made
else.
It out of the third grade. All right.
These are not third grade
don't,
questions.
That was all right. Kate, Jack. Come on, man.
All right.
Get your mind
all
right.
All right. Here's a good one. I'll give you multiple choice. When did Congress pass the Mint Act? The Mint Act.
1803.
I'm going to give you dates.
Stack and paper.
I'll just give you the years, okay? Because they got official dates here, but I'll give you the years. 1776, 1789, 1812, or 1792?
1812.
1792.
That would be the War of the 1812.
1792.
Yes, you're right, Jack.
1803 was when it really
passed. Give yourself a lot of applause there. And so now, here's a multiple choice.
How is this the third game? I'm going with Jack. This is some crap, man.
Where were the first U.S. coins produced? Philadelphia, Denver, San Francisco, or Seattle?
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia, it has to be.
See how smart you guys are? All right, here's the last question.
Denver.
All right. Well, see, I made it easy for you. And here's the last question. What were greenbacks? And let me give you multiple choice, unless you know the answer.
Dollar bills?
No. No idea. A, Green Bay Packer fans.
Okay, no.
B, the people who print paper money. C, the executives at the Treasury Department. Or D, the nickname for the first U.S. paper money.
So you said money's wrong, so I guess D is
B.
Out.
I'm going to go with B.
You're going with
B,
C.
B, Jack says the people who print paper money, those C. are the greenbacks. And Andrew yeah. says the executives at the Treasury Department.
That's my guess.
All right, well, I'm sorry to say you're both wrong. It's the nickname for the first U.S. paper money.
I said that.
You didn't say
I
that.
I said that before you even started the damn question.
I didn't hear you say
that. I said, what is that? I said money. I said it's money. What's wrong with that?
Well, okay, so...
Why Jack, do you like to get me upset?
Jack.
Like, you tell me I'm wrong when I'm
how
right.
How many did you get right? How many did Andrew
get
right?
We didn't get as many right as we should have.
I got them all right in my mind.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't care about this.
He doesn't care?
No. I want to talk to the owner of Heritage Foods. I want to, you know, talk about my net terms with that guy for my vendors.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll talk about that after Flash Talks Cash, okay?
I got you, Flesh. I'm understanding this. I'm just like talking about money. I'm trying to make money. I'm trying to stack paper, as you say, in EK16. Who the hell is EK16?
Maybe he's 619.
619.
That was his birthday, I bet.
June 19th? That's my friend Alex's birthday.
Well, a lot of people have that birthday.
AB, you listening? Yo, give us a call. 718-497-2128.
So the people have learned what to do with their money.
But you said not to trust anyone except for two people.
I said ask lots of questions. Ask lots and lots and lots of questions.
So only trust a CPA and a certified investment analyst.
No, no.
CIA?
But you have to ask them.
What's the acronym for him?
RIA.
All right.
You have to ask them if they're legally obliged to act in your best interest. That will tell you if they're fiduciary, right? You have to ask them, will they disclose all the personal conflicts of interest? Are you getting a high commission for this product that you're investing in? And if I opt for another product, will you buy it even though the commission's going to be less, right? And how are they compensated? That's a very good question. How are you being compensated? Are you being paid because you're selling me an annuity? Annuities are horrible for the investor. They're wonderful for the sales guy.
What is an annuity?
Annuity is you give them, say you give them $10,000 and you say hold it for 8 years. And after 8 years or during that 8 year period, let's say after 8 years, that $10,000 will grow to $12,000. And then you could take your money out. That's an annuity.
It's like a CD.
Yeah, but you can also take the money out. That generally, I take it back. An annuity is you give them $10,000 and you say, I want to take this out over the next 10 years, say $1,000 a year, but it has interest and grows. So you take out this money and you're locked in. You cannot change the form of investment or anything, or there's penalties for changing it around. So it's a very high commissioned product for the guy who's selling it. Just think about it. If you're going to give them your $10,000 and they're going to give you 6% return and give it to you over 10 years, give it back to you over 10 years, they're going to find a place that they're going to make more than 6%. And they got your money and they're also going to charge you a commission to do this. And if you change your mind, you say, oh, I can go out now after a few years and find 12% investment, you have a high penalty to pay. You have to forfeit some of the interest that you've earned and so forth and so on. So it's a really...
Sounds like a CD.
...crappy investment. And the most important thing is if you have an IRA account that you're looking to do an investment in, don't put annuity products into an IRA. It's securing a thing that's not worth... Not
don't put annuity products in an IRA?
Correct.
I'm confused.
Well, if somebody comes along and says, say I have an IRA rollover and I used to work for XYZ company and I have $50,000 in my 401k, I want to roll it out and put it into my IRA. And
what's an annuity? How does an annuity?
You can use the $50,000 to buy an annuity and say, okay, I want it in 20 years. And they'll put it into a 20-year annuity.
Rather than an IRA.
No, it's an IRA. You're buying an annuity inside your IRA account.
Oh.
You understand that?
I got you.
You could buy
any product you want.
Stock.
I got you.
You can buy an annuity. You could buy any product and put it into an IRA. The thing about an IRA is you're deferring the taxes until the time when you pull the money out. The thing about an annuity, you don't pay any tax because it's all deferred to when you pull the money out. And the first $10,000 or $50,000 you put in is tax-free. So you're getting no benefit by putting an IRA money into an annuity. You're deferring taxes that are already deferred. So It's not a good product.
So is it a double tax-free?
It's not double nothing. It's heavy commission to the guy who sold it to you, and it's a crappy investment. Gotcha. Most of the times, it's a crappy investment.
Gotcha.
Stay away from insurance, guys. Buy insurance products, not investments. Stay away from the banks. Buy savings accounts and checking accounts. Don't let them invest your money. These guys are the worst.
Can you come up with some easier questions next week? Because apparently Jack and I are only in like the second grade.
My head is spinning.
I'm like loopy. I'm done. We'll talk to you next week, guys.
All right. We'll be back next week. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening. And now here's some behind-the-scenes food news with Katie Kiefer.
Guess what? Food prices will likely continue to rise given the fact that corn planting is lagging way behind last year. According to Drover's Cattle Network, planting is down 53%, which will undoubtedly put more of a squeeze on livestock farmers, especially pork and chicken farmers, because after all, they're the ones who use more corn than anybody else in terms of livestock production. Here's a quote from the Drover's Cattle Network. 13% of the corn in the top 18 producing states has been planted, according to the USDA's Crop Progress Report, which was released on May 2nd. Although it is a 4% improvement from last week, nationally, the 2011 corn planting is 27% behind the five-year average and 53% behind 2010's progress, and this is no doubt likely to bad weather, drought conditions in various places, and more rain in others. Who knows? But whatever it is, look to see your grocery bills rising over the next few months. This is Katie Kiefer for Behind the Scenes Food News.
Did you know we have a beer show? Check out a small clip from Beer Sessions Radio.
All right, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43, and I'm here with Ray Dieter from the DBA Bars.
Hey, Jim.
Ray, this is a fun show. We're drinking Belgian beer. We're drinking Ichtigum, hanging out with the guys from 124 Rabbit Club. We got Don and Wendy from Van Bergen the Wolf. Well, let's go back a little bit to kind of build your pedigree. So the two of your top brands that we love and that you have now, Scaldis and Saison DuPont.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell us how you met those guys, how you started working with them.
Well, Saison DuPont was really... that was.
If you want to hear more, head over to heritageradionetwork.com where new episodes of Beer Sessions are posted every week in our archive. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast in iTunes. The following...